Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this workshop with so many interesting talks. And I'm going to speak about regular maps whose automorphism groups are nilpotent groups. Every regular map combines in itself three different objects of different mathematical nature, namely the surface upon the regular map lies, a graph which is embedded in that surface, and the automorphism group of the structure. And much of map theory is regular map theory deals with interplay between pairs of these three objects. This talk will be about regular maps with given automorphism groups, so it will slightly emphasize the group theoretical point of view. Let me start with some basic definitions. Much of these definitions were presented here during talks during this workshop, but I will repeat them mainly because I want to set the terminology. Okay, so a map, as usual, is a cellular decomposition of a closed surface into zero cells called vertices, one cell called edges, and two cells called faces, or equivalently, it's an embedding, a two-cell embedding of a connected graph in some surface, in some closed surface. An oriented map is a map on an orientable surface where we have chosen a specific orientation. A map automorphism is a self-homomorphism of that surface, which preserves the incidences between these objects, and if the surface is oriented, then we require that an automorphism preserve also the orientation. let us look at flex of a map, that is basically vertex edge face incident triples. So if we have an automorphism, it maps flex to flex, of course, and by connectivity of the surface, if we pick up any two flex, there is at most one automorphism which maps one flex to the other flex. So there is at most as many automorphisms as there are flex, that is four times the number of edges. And a map is called regular if the number of automorphisms equals the number of flex. There is a similar definition for oriented maps. So if our map is orientable, then of course there are at most half as many automorphisms that preserve the orientation, so at most twice the number of edges. And a map is called orientably regular if the number of automorphisms preserving the orientation equals half of the number of flags, that is twice the number of edges. And each automorphism in that case maps okay, for any two directed edges, there is precisely one automorphism sending one directed edge to the other. So in that case, every orientably regular map acts regularly on directed edges. Okay. It is well known that every regular map can be represented by means of a group, well, actually of the automorphism group, because every regular action is equivalent to the Cayley action, regular action of the group on itself by translations. And since every regular map, the automorphism group of every regular map can be generated by three specific automorphisms. One, a flipping a corner of the map, another automorphism which fixes the edge and interchanges the two faces incident with it, and another automorphism which reverses the edge while fixing the incident faces. So every regular map can be represented algebraically as a quadruple where G is a group, a finite group, and the group is generated by three involutions, two of which commute. Having such a representation, we can reconstruct the map. Simply, we take vertices to be orbits of the permutation rho tau, edges to be orbits of the permutation tau lambda, and faces to be orbits of the permutation rho lambda, all of them acting on the left, with incidence between them defined by non-empty intersection. And automorphisms of this map simply correspond to right translation of the group acting on itself. There is a similar description of orientably regular maps. In this case, the group is generated by two elements, one of each which is an involution. And similarly, we define vertices, we can reconstruct the map by defining vertices to be orbits of the non-involutory generator, edges to be orbits of the involutory generator, and faces to be the orbits of their product, again all acting on the left, incidence again being defined by non-empty intersection, and automorphism then correspond to right translation of the group acting on itself. Okay, so having this situation, it is natural to ask which groups can be, which maps give rise to regular maps in this way. So, and with this, then to classify all regular maps for which the automorphism group is the group which is the basis of this construction. And it is not difficult to see that isomorphism classes of regular maps for which this group is the automorphism group of the map simply correspond to orbits of the automorphism group of G acting on these triples, generating triples rho, lambda, and tau of G. And there is a similar situation and similar problem for orientably regular maps. So we are given a group which is generated by two elements, one of them an involution, and we want to classify all regular maps whose orientation-preserving automorphisms are exactly this group G, from this group G. And again, isomorphism classes of orientable regular maps, with G being the automorphism group of the map, correspond to the orbits of the automorphism. This plus is not in place on the generating pairs RL of G. So as for the existence, it is well known that every non-abelian finite simple group can be generated by two elements, one of which is an involution. Which means that every finite simple group is the automorphism group of an orientable regular map. However, if we move to regular maps, the situation is a little bit more difficult because there is one non-abelian simple group which cannot be generated by involutions. And moreover, even if it can be, if the group can be generated by involutions, it may happen that two of them do not commute. So it may happen that this group is the automorphism a group of a hypermap rather than the automorphism group of a map. Okay, so this is the situation with finite simple groups. As for classification, this has been obtained for several classes of either finite simple groups or almost finite simple groups, but very little is known for regular maps arising from solvable groups or regular maps having solvable automorphism groups. And in this talk, we will concentrate on a subclass of solvable groups, on nilpotent groups. So, nilpotent regular maps. There are actually plenty of nilpotent regular maps, with nilpotent automorphism groups. For instance, recently regular embeddings of complete bipartite graphs were classified, so we know all regular embeddings of complete bipartite graphs K and N, where N is a power of 2, and of course their automorphism groups have order 2 to a power of 2, so it is a 2 group, a nilpotent group. So there are rich classes of nilpotent regular maps. Okay, however, there is not much to say about non-orientable maps, because every non-orientable map with nilpotent automorphism group is either a bouquet of circles, bouquet of loops embedded, bouquet of 2 to n loops embedded in the projective place, or its dual, a cycle of length 2 to n. And the proof is here. First of all, since our group is generated by 3 involutions and is nilpotent, it must be a 2 group. And then we use induction, showing that every regular map with 2 to n edges is either orientable or one of these either bouquet of circles, bouquet of 2 to n loops, or its dual. And this was proved by Steve Wilson in 1985. So this is all we can say about non-orientable maps, and that's why we concentrate on orientable maps from now on. To simplify our terminology, we will use the term regular map to mean orientable regular map, and automorphism group to mean the group of orientation-preserving automorphisms of the map. Okay. And so we start with a folklore case, regular maps which have abelian automorphism group. It is not difficult to see that every regular map on an orientable surface whose automorphism group is abelian is either a map consisting of a number of semi-edges and attached to one vertex, or a number of loops attached to one vertex with cyclic order of loops around the vertex indicated here, or a dipole map with indicated rotation, indicated cyclic order of edges around the two vertices. But I have to remind you that this is not the dipole on the two sphere, because this has dihedral automorphism group. It's a different dipole. So this is the situation with abelian regular maps. In order to proceed further, it will be useful to look at regular embeddings of dipole graphs, that is, graphs which have 2 vertices and n edges joining these 2 vertices. This is quite easy. Every regular embedding of this graph, of the n-dipole, arises from the metacyclic group, which is indicated here, with this defining relation as the algebraic map. And it we denote this dipole by DNA. And furthermore, two dipole maps, DNE and DNF, are isomorphic if and only if E is congruent to F modulo N. Combinatorially, the cyclic order of edges around one vertex is any permutation of the edges, and the cyclic permutation of edges at the other vertex is its eth power, where E squared is congruent to one modulo N, which easily flows from the fact that you need to have an automorphism which reverses the vertices. And if you apply this automorphism twice, then you get this relation. This is an easy but fundamental result about nilpotent regular maps. Every nilpotent regular map can be uniquely decomposed into a direct product of two regular maps, one map whose automorphism is a two group, and another map is the map which has one vertex and m semi-edges, the star map. And the definition of the direct product is exactly as it should be. So you simply take two maps, G, one based on G1, another one based on G2, and you define R and L consisting being the pairs of these R's and L's, and G will be the group generated by these two elements. So this is the direct product. This simple result has quite strong consequences. For instance, we can prove that both the number of vertices and the number of faces must be powers of 2. The valency and the face size must be even. And if M is simple, that is, if it does not have parallel edges, both parameters must be powers of 2. So this implies that M does not have parallel edges only when the automorphism group of the map is a 2 group. And furthermore, if the automorphism group is non-abelian, then the map is bipartite. And with some further effort, we can prove that apart from two easily defined families of dipole maps and their duals, both vertex valency and face size must be multiples of 4. So the next step is to classify nilpotent regular maps coming from groups of class 2. Of course, by the decomposition theorem, it is sufficient to classify maps arising from two groups. And so what we have to look at are two groups, which are two generated, and one of the generators is an involution. And we have two possibilities for such groups. And these groups are related in this way. And from these groups, we get two families of maps. And these maps are related, as indicated in this diagram. All vertical arrows being double covers in this diagram. So this is the situation. On the other side of the spectrum, okay, I have here some details about the maps. So they are either embeddings of dipoles or embeddings of cycles of with multiple edges. And since, as we have seen, these maps are uniquely determined by the groups, they admit all Wilson's operations, and that's why they are kaleidoscopic in the sense of definition given by Josef Schirang earlier this week. So this much about class 2. The other extreme are regular maps of maximal nilpotency class. So if we have a map whose automorphism group is a 2 group of order 2 to n plus 1, then the largest nilpotency class it can have is n. And it is well known that this is an old result of Tausky, that groups of order 2 to n plus 1 whose nilpotency class is n are in 3 classes, fall into 3 classes, dihedral groups, quasi-dihedral groups, and generalized quaternion groups. And moving on from this classification of these groups, we get the following result, which was recently proved by Roman's students Kan Hu and Nair Wang. And it shows that each of the groups gives rise to exactly 2 regular maps, which are duals to duals of each other, and one of them is always an embedding of a dipole. But the third class of groups, the generalized quaternion groups, do not give rise to any regular maps. So this is the situation for regular maps whose automorphism groups are nilpotent of maximal class. Now, if we go to class 3, the situation is getting a bit too complicated. We can identify 7 classes, 7 infinite classes of groups, and 2 small groups, and we can prove that every regular embedding whose automorphism group is nilpotent of class 3 is one of these. So each of these groups gives rise to a pair of dual maps and nothing else, and these 2 maps are not isomorphic. And this is all. But the proof is quite lengthy and not very nice. So obviously this is not the way how to continue. So what we can do is to look at nilpotent maps with simple underlying graph. And we can prove the following thing, that there are only finitely many such maps, and the number of vertices of such maps is at most 2 to 2 c minus 1, and this bound is sharp. Well, I will skip the proof, but the proof contains a lot of commutator calculations, and is by induction of the number on the nilpotency class. Furthermore, we can classify, we can reduce all, or we can reduce the classification of regular maps with simple, with nilpotent automorphism group to simple maps by using this result, that every regular map which has multiple edges gives rise to 2 regular maps, a regular map with simple underlying graph, and a regular map of a dipole. So every regular map which has multiple edges is somehow composed from these. So it would be nice to look at the ways how these maps can be composed from we call this shadow and this dipole map. Furthermore, if M is nilpotent, then both the simple map with simple and corresponding simple underlying graph and the dipole map are nilpotent, and the automorphism group of the shadow is a two group. And furthermore, regular maps whose underlying graph is a dipole and the group is nilpotent can be easily characterized. Here is the characterization due to Sandy Malnich, Roman and I myself. So there are at most four such maps for each integer n. So what remains is to look how nilpotent regular maps can be composed from dipoles and from simple regular maps. We have some observations in this direction, but we still have to continue to get deeper in this problem. So with this, I would like to conclude my talk. Thank you. From Grigorchuk.
25 years ago, Grigorchuk produced an uncountable family of groups with intermediate words. The Cayley graph, faster than a polynomial, slower than exponential. And his groups are generated by string evolutions to a rich community. So they are already automorphic groups of infinite regular maps. But more, they are residual nilpotent. That means that they have lots of nilpotent ethnomorphic images.
Yes.
So they have lots of finite maps and quotients, which are going to be nilpotent. They grow very rapidly indeed as you go down the group. But they would give you a lot of very interesting examples of finite.
Yes. Well, only at most five are allowed, so that's a program for infinite long time.
Thank all today's speakers, and I have an announcement after we finish. Thank you.